Good day, everyone. My name is Pumla Schmidt. I'm one of the cloud advocates here, and welcome to my session for the Create Startups. So I actually got here through an interesting little story, which I want to tell you guys about because it actually relates to the session. So the past 6 months, I've actually been traveling around the world talking about governance to everyone. And when I travel to different countries, I actually don't need a boarding pass to get on the plane. You're probably wondering, okay, that's interesting. Don't you need a boarding pass? Well, depending on the airline now, you can use facial recognition. You stare into the camera and boom, the picture of your passport comes up. So I've been doing this, several countries? And it finally dawned on me, like, wow, how did they get my passport? And then when it really dawned on me was when I was in Hong Kong. I was going through security and I looked at the camera and boom, my passport came up. I'm thinking, okay, I'm in Hong Kong. How did they get my passport information? So all this like was going through my head. And I just kept thinking to myself, where is the governance? Like, how are they getting all this data? Who's sharing it? And when did I agree to this? I'm sure that at some point when I, you know, signed up to get my passport on the dotted line, there's probably some fine print on page 556 that said that you can share data with whomever. But it really makes you start to wonder, who's governing all this data that has all our information? Now, do you know that London Heathrow is actually going to be doing facial recognition as well for boarding planes? And a lot of other airlines are doing that as well. So it just isn't me that's being affected. All of you are going to be affected by this. So it really makes us wonder, who is protecting our data? What's the governing policies around this? Those are questions that, you know, you should ask yourselves. And as technologists, we should be asking as well. So let's get on with the session. How to run with scissors. And I came up with this idea of how to run with scissors because using cloud technology is sort of like running with scissors. You know, when you pick up a pair of scissors, it's got those sharp edges, and when you start running, there's a risk. There's always that potential risk if you trip or, you know, just stumble over something. You can trip and actually hurt yourself. You can poke yourself, or you can hurt yourself really bad and stab yourself, and there's blood gushing everywhere. Cloud, similar kind of concept, not as bloody, but you can pick up and go quickly, right? Because you can spin up environments in a matter of minutes, and you're up and running, and you're going. But because the cloud, the very nature of it, is so easy and fast that you can forget about those little nuances like permissions, security, making sure that you're following government regulations. Because, you know, hey, you're going real quick. And you could be piloting, and you could be testing something. And you'll go back and you'll fix that later, right? Those are all risk. And with the cloud, it makes it so easy for us because we're all humans. You know, let's admit that we're not robots. And we intend to do well, and we intend to go back and fix those holes. But oftentimes, we don't until somebody tells us, hey, you did forget to do something. So that's a risk. And it's very similar to running with scissors. So when we are running with scissors in the cloud and using cloud technology, this is where technical governance comes into play. And technical governance isn't anything new. We have it on premises as well. And really, technical governance is about applying control and standards to your resources. You know, it's about denying creation of certain resources. But ultimately, it's about making sure that you are meeting your business requirements, that those investments that you've made in your technology, you know, is making sure that you're meeting those business requirements. Yeah, you're making sure that you're meeting budget, because if you're spending too much, that's really not meeting your business requirements, is it? No, probably not. So yeah, and technical governance is those checks and balances as well. Why should a startup care about governance? Because typically when you think about governance, you always think, well, it's a negative connotation, right? And you feel like it's going to slow you down. But in my personal opinion, everyone should care about governance, but especially startups. Why, you ask? Well, do you want customers? Do you have customers now? you're gonna, if you want customers, and most likely you do, if you're a business, you're gonna have your customers' data. And you're gonna have to make sure that you're protecting your customers' data, that you're abiding by whatever regulation that's within the industry that you're in. That's why you should care if you're a startup. GDPR, if you want to be a global company at some point, yeah, Europe, you're gonna have to worry about GDPR. You have to worry about privacy concerns, not just in Europe, but in the US as well. If you're gonna be an online retailer, you've got to worry about credit card information, billing information. But you also want to worry about your information, your company. Because let's say you're using cloud technology, but you're not protecting your own data. Other people can find out that information. That's all a risk. So, I mean, those are the reasons I give you why startups should care. Let me tell you a little story. As I was developing this talk, I spoke with one of my peers, Duncan Davidson, and he used to work for a startup called Wunderlist, which actually was purchased by Microsoft several years ago. But before the acquisition, he was telling me a story where they actually lost potential customers because they didn't have governance in play. They didn't have a governance plan. So in hindsight, he said, if they would have had a governance plan or something built up as a foundation, they potentially could have got these really big accounts. But what ultimately happened was they didn't get these accounts. And it's because they didn't have governance in play. So, as a startup, these are things that you should consider, right? Yes, there is that potential of, you getting all these customers, but let's say it's a big account. Especially in a heavily regulated industry, those customers are going to ask you, what's your governance plan? How are you protecting my data? These are all questions that all customers should ask. So, you should definitely care. But we have to start thinking governance as a not a negative, but a positive. Because as I mentioned before, usually when we say the word governance, it always kind of seems negative. Roadblocker, it's gonna slow me down. We have to think of it differently. We have to start thinking about governance as a positive, as an enabler. And how do we do that? Well, governance could be guardrails, right? That's all they really are. They're just guardrails that allow you and your business to operate, to do your job, and fast. I like to think of it as, think of it as a highway. And guardrails are, they're on the highway. They keep you in your lane, but you can still go really fast. But they let you know that you need to stay within these lanes. And see, when we apply that to our business and technology, it could be used the same way. Governance is just really guardrails that allow your developers, that allow your IT operations, that allow everyone to do their job fast, to have acceleration and velocity. All that good stuff that you need as a startup to make it in this market day and age, right? Because if you don't have speed and acceleration and velocity, you may not survive. Because it's all about how do I beat the competition? So having guardrails in place allows you to not only accelerate and get those wins, but it also makes sure that you're within compliance, that you're meeting those regulatory concerns, and that you're protecting your customers' data safe and secure, but also your own data. So how do we get governance? And how do we get speed? We do it with cloud-native governance. And what do I mean by that? Cloud-native governance really is just using those built-in tools within your cloud platform to give you those guardrails. And almost every cloud provider has these tools. They do. They may call it a different name, but there are built-in tools that give you guardrails. But obviously, I work for Microsoft, so we're going to talk about the different tools that are available within Azure that give you governance for your cloud. So governance for the cloud. We've got a whole list of products and features that you can use. We've got Azure Policy. We've got this awesome thing called Blueprints, which is basically, I like to call governance at scale. We have Resource Graph, which is it's a query tool that really lets you see deep into your environment to actually see what you're running, how many resources that you have. And then we've got management groups. Management groups allow you to manage all those multiple subscriptions together. And then we've got cost management, because nobody cares about the budget until you care about the budget, right? So we've got all these really cool tools. And looking at my slide deck here, it looks pretty intense. There's a lot of stuff going on. And you know what? There's a lot of stuff going on in a lot of other cloud providers too. We got AWS, we got Google. There's just so much governance tools. What do you do? Where do you start? And when you look at this, and this is why I believe that governance has a negative feel, it's because there's just so much available. We give you so much to protect your data and your customers' data. But I'm going to tell you something that you probably are going to be shocked to hear. You don't want to apply all these tools at once. You want to know why? Because you're probably going to fail, especially at day one. If you're trying to roll out everything all at once, it's probably going to be counterintuitive, because this is a lot to do, and Rome wasn't built in a day. So my suggestion is start off small and then scale out, especially from a startup perspective. If you're trying to do everything at once, plus run a business and get customers, it's just too much. And then when it's too much, you know what happens? You're so busy about getting those customers that the governance portion, you're like, let's put that aside because we got to focus on winning this deal. And then you forget about the governance portion. And see, that's where things can go wrong. So my suggestion is start off small. Build a foundational layer of a governance plan. Start off with role-based access. Who needs access to what? I mean, that's the very foundation, you know, building out your roles, the permissions, giving people access to just what they need. Because does everybody need access to everything? Probably not. Especially if a C-level person, do they really need access to the whole environment? Because if you don't have segregation of duties, it can cause some conflict of interest. And does your administrative assistant need access to the whole environment? Maybe they just need a view-only access. And then do, you know, developers need access to do everything? Probably not. They probably just need access to certain parts of the environment. By giving everybody their specific roles, now you're building out this foundational layer of having segregation of duties, but also you're defining the boundaries for everyone. And people can have multiple roles. You're not defined to just one role. So once you build out that permission and your RBAC, you take it another step deeper into governance. Azure policies, right? You build out these policies. And even with Azure policies, start out small. You know, start out with some auditing. And then build out to policies that actually restrict you from doing something. Because Azure policies, it's about not only auditing, but also denying creation of certain resources, right? And then conforming to certain standards. So my suggestion is always start with audits, least amount of damage you can possibly do to an environment. You know, just start auditing your environment. One in particular I really like is the audit accounts with read, write, owner permissions who are not MFA enabled. See, this one's really cool. And then we also have another one where we audit storage accounts that are allowing access to everyone. When you use those two policies, it could be great. You want to know why? Well, there was a particular pretty big telecommunications company, data exposure recently, the end of 2018. The company will be named nameless, but they were working with a startup, a partner. And that partner actually had data, customer data, they were using a file share with a cloud provider. And that file share, just a simple file share with customer data, was completely exposed to the internet. Anyone with internet access could have gone there and seen that customer data. See, by using this audit, these two audit policies, there could have been some alerting set up to say, hey, wait a minute, your storage accounts here or your file share has access to everyone. You probably don't want to do that, right? So you're going to get this alert, and then now you, as the business owner, can make that decision on locking that down. And then once you've got comfortable with Azure policies, then you can start building out some policies that actually control what resources are being created. You can actually spec out to the point where your developers, they can deploy everything, or they can only deploy one thing, maybe one particular VM or one type of storage disk. And you can actually restrict what location they're deploying these resources in. And see that, restricting location is great for GDPR. So that's Azure policies. There's so much you can do there. And we've got built-in policies, but we also have custom policies. Obviously, as you're starting out new, you want to start with the built-in ones, what we have available, see what you can do with it. And then as you're developing your governance plan, take it deep and start building out some custom ones if you're comfortable with it. And now, you've got your RBAC and you've got your policies and everything's feeling good, right? You've got this foundational layer of governance. You're protecting your data, your customer data, and your business is growing. And now, applying governance to all these subscriptions going through manually, I'm going to be honest with you, it can slow you down a little bit because you got to go through and you got to put the RBAC on the new subscription. You got to put the policies on the new subscription. That's going to take some time. And then this is where scaling out your guardrails come into play. And scaling out is what I call blueprints. Blueprints, it's the automation and orchestration of all that governance that you had developed, that RBAC and those policies. It's taking that together and building a blueprint with it. And the blueprint really is what the name is. It's a blueprint. It's your governance blueprint. So you take your artifacts and you build it out, and you can even use ARM templates, which is Azure Resource Management templates. It's basically our infrastructure as code, because that can deploy your resources for you. But you take all these artifacts, you build a blueprint, and then you stamp it out. You apply it to your new subscriptions. So now you don't have to go in and manually apply governance to all these new subscriptions. You're just applying blueprints to them. And blueprints, there's version control with that as well, too. So you can have multiple versions. You can revert back to an old version, because as businesses grow, your business policies change, right? So your governance will also change. And when it changes, you can go back and you can modify those governance plans. You can modify your RBAC, you can modify your policies, and then re-roll out those blueprints to your tenancy. And then as you scale out, you're going to start getting bills. You're going to start worrying about the budget, because nobody worries about the budget until you worry about the budget, right? At the end of the month, you get that bill, and you're going to go, wow. This is where Azure Cost Management comes into play. Azure Cost Management gives you the tools for you to analyze how you're utilizing your resources. You can create budgets, you can create alerts. If you've got resources that you've spun up as a test environment, you may not need them anymore, and they're just costing you money. You can shut them down. And then you may see some resources that you are utilizing, and then you can check, wait a minute, last month we didn't really spend that much, but look, wow, this month our expenditure has gone up. What happened? And you can actually look back and say, we deployed some new code. Maybe we got some bad code in there. We need to take a look why, what happened here? Why is there a spike and an increase in utilization, right? So Azure Cost Management allows you to see that. Now, the really cool thing about our cost management tools, it's not only visible for Azure, but you can also see into other clouds. You can actually see into AWS as well, because we all know this is a multi-cloud world. And if you're in both clouds, you can see what you're spending in both clouds. It gives you the ability to control your expenditures, because spending is part of governance as well, right? It's those checks and balances, making sure that you meet all your business requirements. Governance is more than a 25, 30 minute talk. I can go on and on and on. There's just so much involved. It's RBAC, it's policies, but it's also security. I mean, There's so much, and we've got a great site on our Microsoft site that you can go to, aka.ms/create-governance. Here, we've got all sorts of documentation you can read up on. You could even go to our learning portal and walk through on how to do RBAC. And it's a sandbox environment. It's, you know, you can go through the different procedures on creating RBAC, and then when you're done, the sandbox environment gets wiped down and you can redo it again. But it's a great place for you to go if you're just starting out, or if you already are having some governance plans in place and you just need some more guidance, great location. So before, you know, I end this session, I always like to end it with this great slide here. Originally, I heard this slide from Uncle Ben from Spider-Man, but I looked it up and it, you know, they said Winston Churchill really came up with it. So sorry, Uncle Ben. But with great knowledge comes great responsibility. So, you know, as businesses, if we're taking customer data, there's responsibility there, right? We want to make sure that we are protecting our customers' data, that we are providing great integrity for it. That's our responsibility as businesses, that we want to make sure that we're doing right for our businesses, because ultimately that's what they're expecting us to do. So I want to say thank you for listening me talk about governance, and I hope you enjoy your day today. Thank you.